The pitch. Harper swings, lines one down the left field line. That's a base hit. Stott around third. He's going to come home and score. Harper trying for second. The throw is not in time. A double for Bryce Harper, and the Phillies are on the board. It's 1-0.
Well, great job by Bryce Harper in recent weeks. I guess it's been about 2 weeks, maybe 2.5. He is, my God, he has really locked it in. And big hit, you know, biggest hit of the game yesterday, obviously. The only one technically they really needed, because they could have won the game 1-0. In fact, they turned out they won it 2-0. Matter of fact, as we're playing the highlights, Seltzer, since we're playing the highlights, let's play, like, you know, the other one. As Max Kepler, later in the game, got the Phils with another run.
The pitch. Kepler swings, rips it to right field down the line. It'll go for extra bases. Schwarber on his way into third. They're going to wave him to the plate. Ball picked up on the track by Freeman. The relay home is not in time. And the Phillies have a 2-0 lead on a double by Max Kepler.
So a great job by the Phils, 7 in a row, and obviously first place in the division now by 2 games of the Mets, who were off yesterday. But really, you know, we celebrate those guys, Kepler and Harper, and what they did, Harper especially lately. But the real star of the game was Ranger. 6 2/3, no runs, totally looks locked in. You know, other than that first start he had this year when he just got bombed, he's rounded right on back to his typical form of very quality starting pitching. And it's going to create some really interesting dynamics with this team and probably that clubhouse later this year when you figure out who's in and who's out for the rotation in October. And I do think they'll make it to October, but it's no sure bet. I mean, we saw in April and early May the Phillies can struggle and could, you know, play their way out of the postseason. But the way they're playing right now with this starting pitching, it's hard to imagine that that's likely. They should make it. And they're going to have some real decisions to make with some outstanding starting pitchers. Look, you can weigh in, 215-592-9494. Also, as we broadcast from Borgata, entering Memorial Day weekend, if you want to react to the Jason Kelce interview and what stood out to him with what he said. And great to have the Mac man, Jody, in today for John here with us.
As a matter of fact, I got a text right after we finished the Kelce interview. I didn't realize that you got the same text, and James got the same text. He sent it to all three of us. John Brazier, head of fun and games for the Phillies.
Yeah, of course.
Followed up with Kelce saying, oh, it'll be an injury. If they vote it out in the future, it'll more be likely because of an injury. And he remembered back to the Buster Posey injury at home plate.
Yeah.
You could kill a, ask Pete Rose, you could kill a catcher at home plate.
Bob Fosse will tell you, or Ray Fosse,
Ray
will tell
Fosse,
you. Yeah.
Exactly. Until Posey got hurt as badly as he did. Star player, went down, lost for big time. Uh-oh, we better change the rules. So if the tush push gets overturned, I would think the most moving thing will be because of a major injury on that play coming up this season.
Let's rock a lot of calls this hour. We will play some audio of Jahyd Campbell. He joined us pretty early in yesterday's show. So if you missed that, we'll give you some of the highlights of that coming up shortly because, you know, I mean, the big thing is him on the injury. You know, what's going on, but also his sense of excitement to join the Eagles, who, of course, he grew up as a fan of. Let's go to the phones. Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
Good.
So, Joe, how are you feeling about Benedict Arnold now that, I'm sure you've finished the
I finished
book.
The book. So I think to a large extent he kind of got jobbed by history. Obviously, he's a turncoat, and in the end he turned against our nation. So, you know, we can't have all warm and fuzzies about him. But I do think there were decisions that led to him turning against the nation. And I don't think history over 250 years has recorded that well.
It's not black and white. History is not black and white. Did you ever read The Demon of Unrest, you know, the book I made you carry
I
around?
I did. And I am sorry to tell you, I honestly did not enjoy it. I am, and I really appreciate you gave it to me, man. That author, I was all in on his book on the Lusitania, and the other ones I've really drifted on.
That's unfortunate. I think he's the best. So, listen, on the Phillies, obviously they're beating up on some double-A clubs here.
Yep.
I mean, that Rockies team is even worse than, like, the team that Ryan Sandberg was the manager here in Philadelphia. That's a pretty high bar. So it's great. You know, they've got the best record in National League and they're cruising along. But, I it's the 162-game marathon where you have to kind of strap in for the journey. We do this to ourselves when we get, you know, down in the dumps when they're not playing well and we get, you know, now they're a great team again. And as soon as they hit another 5 or 6 game skid, you know, they're not going to be a great team again. And I would just caution everybody, look, I want the Phillies to win. I want the Phillies to win the World Series. I am not a, you know, I would not rather be right than see the Phillies have a parade. But, you know, it's a long season. It's only May, about to be June. Rob Thompson is still the manager, and this team still has fundamental issues with
hitting
quality.
So you're still worried on the Rob Thompson front, aren't you?
Well, I will always be worried on the Rob Thompson front until Rob Thompson's no longer the manager of this baseball team. And I still do not think that this team is equipped to hit quality pitching. I mean, they haven't really seen any quality pitching in a couple of weeks now.
They faced Paul Skeens like less than a week ago.
And they scored one run.
And one.
It required Mick Abel to come up and, you know, kind of put himself back.
Well, to be fair,
map.
Ken, Paul Skeens faces a lot of teams and gives up 2-0, 2-1 or 0. I mean, you know, it's not
The ERA is 2.5. So he can be hit. And, you know, look, I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just saying that I'm not ready to, you know, take a week and a half of playing really weak teams to say, oh, no, they're great.
Another way to look at it is it's 2 months of baseball because the season started in early March. It's 2 months of baseball, and they're half a game behind the best record in baseball.
I want to see what they do in Atlanta because, you know, especially the teams that they seem to struggle with, you know, offensively. And I really, you know, what will be a marker for me is if they play the Mets the next time they play them, and I don't even know when that is. It's probably
it's
not for
June.
A while. But if they hang crooked numbers on the Mets, then I'll say, okay, yeah, this team has changed.
Can I ask Ken a quick question?
Yeah.
He pretty much said, if Rob Thompson is the manager, I don't think they can win. Who would you prefer? What manager in baseball would you rather have than Rob Thompson right now?
Well, I mean, Jody, I mean, how long do you have to have this conversation? I mean, my preference for the manager right now would be Jim Leland, but he's, you know, 90 or whatever he is. So. but it's just somebody other than Rob Thompson, somebody who is not going to be – you know, the guy that hands out orange slices at the end of the day. You know, I have never picked up the sense of urgency from Rob Thompson. I don't feel like he manages with a sense of urgency. And I know it's 162.
He was different last October. I'll say that, Rob.
And I actually think for a regular season manager, he kind of does. Like a lot of regular season managers give games away, decide, all right, we're down 6-0. It's time to bring in the long guy and eat up some inning. Like that's baseball. That's 162. I actually think watching Topper the last 2 years, I don't think this was the case in 23 and 22, but I think in 24 and 25, I think he's actually managed like pretty aggressively.
I agree.
He lets pitchers go deep. He, you know, brings the infield in early in games.
Look,
all that type of stuff.
He benched Bohm in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. So I don't agree with this.
Ken, I need an answer.
Why?
Ken, I need an answer. A great summer movie character.
So I have a question because. Devin said the movie, but she said the wrong character.
Yeah, that's on the board. I need a character that hasn't been said.
Okay. Quint from Jaws is the great.
You got
that is the correct answer.
That's a big answer. That's it. Well, Jaws from Jaws. Let's go to Steve in Willow Grove. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Just, real fast, on the Eagles, I feel Jeffrey Lurie pulled a Michael Corleone and bringing in Frankie Piangelo's brother with.
Wow, that's a great analogy.
That is a great analogy, dude. That's awesome.
Except Frankie, how do you say the name again?
Pentangeli.
Yeah, Pentangeli's brother didn't speak.
Yeah, he didn't need to. All you do is look at him and be like, all right, whatever you want, pal.
But he had the secret weapon.
Yeah.
You know? Just like you have the secret weapon with this hammer, and hopefully the Phillies are going to take a read from you and put the smack down on the rest of the season. Ken, you can't think about the minor league teams. They're teams. We're beating them. 2-0. Come on.
Well, and let's also not act like they've only beaten bad teams. I mean,
it's working.
Come on.
You know, but look, hey, everybody has their opinion. And just the other thought, I had a question for Kelsey. He wanted to find out what his vanity plate's going to say, tush push or ass man.
Little Kramer reference right there.
That's a Seinfeld reference. Steve,
would your wife,
I've met your wife, she is lovely, would she approve of such chatter from you? I mean, there are children
listening,
sir.
She she suggested it. So following the leader, dude.
It's a pretty famous Seinfeld reference.
I'm playing around. I got you. All right, Steve, excellent call as always. Let's get you some Phillies tickets.
I'm not that smart, Joe. I need help, you know?
Well, yeah. All right, Steve, let's get you Phillies tickets. Best summer movie character ever is who?
Wendy Peppercorn.
Help me out. Who's that?
Sandlot, the lifeguard.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep. Oh, man. Bring that kind of stuff up. Now you're bringing up Lacey Underall.
Oh, Lacey.
Jody.
Lacey.
God bless her. She died about, a year or two ago?
Yeah, Cindy Morgan was her name.
Yeah, Cindy Morgan. The scene where Ted Knight is chasing, is that his name, Ted Knight? Yeah,
Ted Knight. Smiles, yeah.
Is chasing around his nephew, or no, her nephew, you know, the kid, whatever.
Noonan.
With Noonan. The freaking
You're nailing it right now.
Noonan.
Oh, my God.
Noonan.
It's an all-timer. All right, Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, long live Lacey Underall. Good morning.
Long live indeed. It is a good morning. I haven't mentioned the biggest fan of the Tush Push. It's not Jason Kelsey. It's not Jeffrey Lurie. It's Madeline from Phoenixville. She's sitting in the back seat. It's her favorite thing to say. She says, Tush Push.
There you go. Excellent.
Yeah. So, and as long as I don't get a call from daycare saying she's actually trying to run the play, that would be a problem. But so I had mentioned earlier when Alvarado went out that maybe some positive could be that, you know, it's kind of, you have limited options, but it would allow guys like Romano and Strom to settle into more of a regular role. It's not a large enough sample size, but I think this could potentially play out as a...
I don't buy it. You know, I think the bigger thing is Romano had already started pitching well. I don't buy that it's a positive. I don't buy it.
Well, I mean, just make the best out of a poor situation.
Well, yes, correct.
Make
the best out of what you can.
And I know it's not as big of a relative need as a bullpen arm, but Brenton Doyle for the Rockies, I mean, they're certainly not going to be buyers at the trade deadline. He's a really good player. I think he could be got for less than one of our top prospects.
I don't. I don't. I think they have high hopes for Brenton Doyle. I mean, he's a lot of team control. And I'm with you. I think he's a center fielder. You know, he's a phenomenal center fielder. He's got a nice bat. Like, Brenton Doyle would be a perfect fit for the team, but I think he would cost a lot more than, you know, like just McGable or something like that.
Yes, I mean.
All right, Ed, give me a summer movie character.
Has Johnny Castle from Dirty Dancing
has
been
not
said
been
yet?
Said. Absolutely, totally available. You got him, man. Johnny Castle from Dirty Dancing. Good answer. All right, Twitter poll question of the day brought to us. It was a shame, man, when Patrick Swayze died. Was that about 15 years?
Horrible.
Ago?
Horrible. Not quite that long, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it feels a more recent than that.
I was thinking like a decade.
I think it's been a while.
It's a while. I was thinking like a decade. I'll look it up.
Mm. All right, Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again to be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now
right,
in
Joe.
Stock. Huh?
You were right.
Oh, 15? Wow. It was
16 years ago.
Wow. Jody Seltzer has an inability to not interrupt when he wants to say something.
Yeah, it was my fault. I shouldn't have jumped in. That was my fault. My fault. My fault. Bad job by me. My bad.
Now I got to start the whole thing all over again. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question. Do you believe in Trey Turner moving forward this season? A yes or B no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, Jody. So
you know what? And who writes the trivia question? The
Twitter
ball question.
Well, me or James typically.
Okay, who wrote that one?
James came up with it.
Okay. What I would have asked instead was, will Trey Turner be the starting shortstop in the All-Star game again this year? Because he was the starting short three. Quarters of the infield were all Phillies. Bowman getting third base.
Right.
The only Harper probably could get first.
The only problem
again
with that poll is it's swayed by, you know, my team's got 40,000 fans and the other team's got 15,000 fans.
Also, like, no offense, Shady. It's just not as interesting, in my opinion.
Not.
I'm more interested in if people believe in the guy again.
Yeah, how he'll do and what we think of it. Exactly. I agree. All right, Jody, we're doing five questions with the Mac Man today, and we're basing them either directly on or related to debate week questions and topics that happened this week on the station. Jody, question number two for you. There was a, should the Phillies move Andrew Painter to the bullpen for the playoffs question. I'm going to broaden it out. Painter, Abel, Nola, Ranger, the whole gamut of all these dudes. How many of them do you think realistically can go into the bullpen for October? And let me put it another way. The starting pitchers are, I think we can all agree, should be, as of now, Wheeler, Sanchez, Lizardo, and then you got to figure out your fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So do the rest go in the bullpen, and does that include Andrew Painter? Or does Andrew Painter supplant someone like Sanchez, and Sanchez goes to the bullpen?
Really debatable.
That's why it's debate week.
Exactly. If you're asking me who do I think could make it to the bullpen and strive out there and be really good, Ranger. Period.
Well, for sure.
Done.
But let me ask you this, Jody. Take Painter. Let's say Painter pitches well when he comes up, but doesn't pitch well enough that they say he is going to start one of our four games that a starter starts. Like, would you really rather have Joe Ross or Ruiz or Andrew Painter?
Outstanding question. The Phillies have somewhat addressed it because they've said, no, he's a starting pitcher. And we look at him as a starting pitcher.
But so are all these guys until October. I mean, at some point in October, if I have seven starting pitchers, like I am not, like, I don't give a damn what anybody says. I really don't. I'm not using frickin' Joe Ross instead of Andrew Painter in the third week of October if I have a chance to win the World Series. I'm not. But Andrew Painter can go right back next February and March to be a starting pitcher.
But you
I'm trying
know,
to win a World Series.
Like, the kid had Tommy John surgery, so I think that's a big aspect of their decision there, where, like, when you come out of the bullpen, you don't get nearly as much warm-up time as you would get as a starting pitcher. Like, it's totally different process, and I think in order to keep someone like him, he's only 22 years old, healthy, they wouldn't do that.
But especially, he's never pitched in the bullpen. It's a different thing when you're going max effort for a full inning. Like, it is actually more dangerous to his arm to go out and try and do something like that and just throw as hard as he can or try and ramp up the velocity for an inning for big outs than it is to start a baseball game and pitch the way he always has.
Look, I just have a problem with that one. I do hear what you're saying. I'm not trying to be ignorant. I guess what I'm saying is I'd like him, for instance, in August and September then, or September especially, or the final two or three weeks of September, to morph into the role so he learns it and can do it.
So I'm generally all right with this. Like, I like moving starters to the bullpen. I have no issues with it. But in this specific case with Painter just coming off Tommy John and with how important he is, like, I don't think I would do it with Painter.
Let me ask you this, James. Let's say he shows he's pretty damn good.
I think he's got it.
Then how about you start him and you move Sanchez to the bullpen?
Wow.
I mean, so, like, here's my point. I'd rather have all the good pitchers.
Of course,
than
I get it, Joe. But you have to take the context of the situation and be real about it. Like, I'm with you.
But,
like,
I'm also trying to win a World Series.
I know. So
this
am I. I'm with you.
But Painter as a starting pitcher could also help you win a World
Series.
Well, no, I recognize that. But some combination of these guys aren't going to start. Can Abel do it?
Agree. Well, I think Abel is a much better viable bullpen
transition.
I think that makes so much more sense.
By the way, I'm
fine with putting Abel in the bullpen. I'm fine with it.
This is going to sound very anti-Phillies, and I sure as hell don't mean it to be. Right now, Painter has got the same amount of outs in Major League Baseball as you have, Joe DeCamera, as I have, Jody McDonald, as James has. He hasn't gotten a Major League out yet, and we're already arguing. He must be on this team. He must be in the ball. Can we wait until he actually gets here?
We can, but I also think they have to project this out because it does relate to whether you have to make trades for the bullpen. And those decisions will happen in the next 2 months.